Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Willie Shih, a professor of management practice at Harvard Business School. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Oh, very good. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. Did you watch a Monday night game last night?
Yeah, that was something.
We've been better, I'll tell you.
Well, you know.
We have been better. But anyway, let's talk about, you know, both presidential candidates are talking about, as every candidate does, it seems, about buying American and bringing American manufacturing back. But then I always wonder about, is that really possible? And take me back to the beginning of this, Professor. How did we lose manufacturing in the country, and what would it look like to bring it back?
Well, we lost manufacturing. I would say the time we really lost the most was in the early 2000s, you know, actually from late 1990s until about 2010, especially when China opened up and we saw a lot of inexpensive shipping options develop, like container shipping. Right? And it costs so much less to manufacture in China. You know, for example, at the time I was running a production operation in upstate New York, and it cost me like about $80 to do some assembly work that I could do in Japan for like $37, and to do it in China cost $2.32. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in those days, if you moved a factory...
And when was that, Professor, just to recap?
That was early 2000s, around 2000, 2001. All right. If you moved a factory in those days, you know, first of all, you'd have to build a new factory in China, and you would have to hire people, you'd have to move your supply chain in, you'd have to do all that work to establish production. But it would get paid for by the cost savings in the product. Okay. And in fact, I used to sell in Walmart, and Walmart, you know, you go over to Bentonville and you go into a meeting with the Walmart people, and they say, if you don't manufacture in China, you're not going to sell in Walmart. Okay. So there was a lot
because
of competitive pressure.
Because of the price point, not a favoritism of the country or anything.
No. Because of how much money you could save on the product. Okay.
You.
Because, you know, so think about, you know, your typical iPhone, for example, for when they first started making those in China. You know, a phone has about 4 hours of assembly labor, okay? And if you're paying a dollar an hour versus $15 an hour, that's a huge difference. Okay, now, that's why bringing manufacturing back to the U.S. is so hard, because when you move it offshore in the first place, the cost savings pay for that move, okay? But that's moving from a high-cost place to a low-cost place. When you want to move it back, nobody's going to pay for that. Okay, so you got to find a way to pay for that. Now, having said that, you know, there are some things that never left the country, or some things that, you know, we'll see a few things move back. I was talking to one manufacturer who moved some production back to Mississippi, but that was for an industrial machine, which was expensive. And frankly, the labor content as a percentage of the total cost wasn't that high, so he could afford to do it. But he said for these $20 gizmos he sells in Walmart, you know, he can't afford to do that in Mississippi, right? If he's not going to do it in China, he's going to do it in Indonesia, or he's going to do it somewhere else where he can do it cheap. Okay, so it really depends. For products where, you know, I always tell people, if you're going to work in a high labor cost country like the U.S. or Europe, for example, then you have to have high labor productivity, and often that's with automation or other things that will make you competitive in spite of that differential.
Seems like a lot of men's clothing I'm seeing today is made in Vietnam.
Yeah, Vietnam or Indonesia or
Bangladesh,
Malaysia, Sri Lanka for a while, although Sri Lanka got all messed up, you know, but a lot of that clothing manufacturer, you know, it's really tough to do that in the U.S. unless it's something that's really, you know, has a very short fashion life cycle, or it's like custom shoes for athletes or things like that. It's very hard to do that in the U.S. at a price that people are willing to pay.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here when we come back. I'm going to ask you, Professor, when we do come back, if I decided today to buy nothing but American and I had the money to do it, could I do that? Can I buy absolutely just American goods, or are there some things I don't have a choice on? And we'll also talk about tariffs. 750, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 755, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Professor Willie Shee, professor of management practice at Harvard Business School, about both administration, well, both candidates really talking about bringing manufacturing back to America and buying American. And I asked Professor before the break, if I decided today, damn the cost, I want to buy all American, can I live my life buying everything made in America?
Well, Tommy, you could buy a lot of stuff made in America, but some things it would be tough. You know, like let's go into a local Walmart and let's say you wanted to buy a blender, okay, $29.95 or something like that. You know, that glass part that you mix up your cocktail in, those aren't made.
Professor, I was going to drink a smoothie, not a cocktail.
Okay. If you're going to drink a smoothie, you know, the glass part, you know, with the little blades in it, nobody makes those glass vessels in the U.S. anymore. They're all made in China, right? So you couldn't, you know, unless you wanted to hire a glassblower and say, make me one, but then it would cost
a fortune. All right, so let me use that example. And if they were to then a company decide to, okay, you know what, screw China, we're going to have, or wherever they're made, we're going to have these glass things made in America, what would that do to the price of a blender?
Well, you're probably, initially, depending on how much volume you could make, you know, you're probably well over $100, a couple $100, right? Maybe you'd have to make it out of plastic or something like that. It would be doable, but it would be expensive.
So when it comes to tariffs to prevent things like that from coming in, either way, the consumer winds up paying for it, right? One way or the other?
Well,
go ahead.
If we have tariffs, consumers are going to have to pay for it. Now, tariffs are supposed to protect a domestic industry from foreign competition. If you have no domestic industry to protect, all you end up doing is paying more, okay? And I think the point that a lot of people miss is there are a lot of things that we don't make in the U.S. anymore.
So when it comes to, quote, getting manufacturing back, and I think sometimes people have a view of 1950s America, which was good for some people it was not so good, or 60s, I think sometimes two things happen. You remember the past a little bit better than it really was, and secondly, things change in the world so much, that's never coming back to America when you have people working for $2 a day manufacturing shirts, right? Is it?
Yeah, Tommy, I think you're spot on, right? I think there's this romantic notion of manufacturing was the path of the middle class, okay? But that's before the world really got much more integrated, and there are a lot of people in other countries who will do it for less, okay? And that's, by the way, one of the reasons we've had relatively low inflation up until recently, because we were importing a lot of inexpensive goods from abroad, right? So if you put tariffs up, it's going to end up costing everybody in everyday products a lot more than people realize. I don't think people realize how dependent we are on imports from other countries.
A lot of times people buy suits. I don't, but you can get a suit for $200 that has an Italian name on it that's actually made in the Pacific Rim. And if you were to prevent that from happening, people would be able to get suits made in America, but they'd be paying like, what, $600?
Probably a lot more than that, because I was actually in a custom suit factory made to measure in China, okay, supplying one of the big chains in the U.S. So a lot of those things, yeah, you could find somebody to do it, but then, you know, those kinds of custom tailors, there aren't that many anymore.
Yeah, Professor, you caught me. I'm lying. I would have made a cocktail, not a smoothie. I was just pulling your leg. And one thing on my bucket list is to get a custom-made suit just once. It'll probably be right before they slip me into it, into the casket. Thank you, Professor.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me,
Tommy.
Shee,
you bet. Professor of Management Practice at Harvard Business School, leaving the politics out of it.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.